The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read to you this morning from Paul's epistle to the Roman church, the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 5 and verses 10 and 11, where Paul writes these words. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. What I want to try to speak about this morning is the subject of reconciliation. And I don't want to do it from some strictly theological standpoint, but I have 8 questions this morning about this subject of reconciliation, which I submit to you that Paul answers in these 2 verses. That is, there are 8 questions I'm going to ask this morning, and Paul answers these questions in these 2 verses here in Romans chapter 5. The first of these 8 questions is this: how did this reconciliation take place? I believe in our day, most people equate reconciliation with something that happens when they're saved or when they're converted, when they hear the gospel preached. But that's not what the Apostle Paul's talking about here. So again, the first question: how did this reconciliation take place? According to the Apostle Paul here, this reconciliation took place by the death of Christ. Look at it again. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. And how were we reconciled to God? By the death of his Son. That's how Paul expresses. This is how Paul puts it. This is how the Spirit of God moved the Apostle Paul to answer this question. How did this reconciliation take place? It took place by the death of Christ. Reconciliation was accomplished some odd 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died. This is divine substitution. This is Christ dying in the place of a people. This is Jesus Christ dying as a substitute. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. This is God manifest in the flesh. This is Christ accomplishing reconciliation by his death. It's a done deal, as we say. It's finished. It's over with. Even as our Lord cried upon the cross, it is finished. Paid in full. It's done. So how did this reconciliation take place? It took place by the death of Christ. May God help us to remember that. Reconciliation's done. It took place by the death of Christ. Now here's the second question that I submit to you that the Apostle Paul answered in these 2 verses. Here's the second question. When did this reconciliation take place? According to the Apostle Paul, it took place when we were enemies. Now think about that. When we were enemies. For if, when we were enemies. There's the when this reconciliation took place. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. This is when the reconciliation took place, when we were enemies. This is substitutionary satisfaction. Jesus Christ reconciled a people not after they were friendly toward him, not after they received him. Paul talks about that in a moment, but the reconciliation took place when we were enemies. You see it? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So when did this reconciliation take place? It took place when we were enemies, when Christ died. As a matter of fact, the people, at least some of the people that Paul was writing to here at Rome, in the church at Rome, some of those people may very well have been alive when Christ died, but yet even at that time they were enemies. They were not believers. They had not received Christ. They hadn't believed on him yet, and yet Christ had already reconciled them to God. Do you see it? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So how did this reconciliation take place? It took place with the death of Christ. When did this reconciliation take place? It took place when we're enemies. So there's those two questions answered by Paul. But here's my third question. Who was the offended party? Who was the offended party? Many people don't often think of this, but the very fact of reconciliation demands, it requires, it suggests in the most strictest sense that there's been an offended party. If someone must be reconciled to someone else, then there's a party that's been offended. And in this case, God's offended no one. God's offended no one, but we have offended God. Who was the offended party? According to the Apostle Paul, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. God was the offended party. We were reconciled to God. This is divine satisfaction. This is Christ offering to God that which the holy God demanded, the thrice holy God. You remember the God that Isaiah seen, and he said, I saw in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, and there were these, I think it was cherubims around the throne crying, holy, holy, holy. The thrice holy God was offended by us. God was offended by us, corrupt sinners, the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. And yet, we're reconciled to God. He's satisfied. God is satisfied with the death of Christ. Look at it again. Let us read what Paul says. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So how did the reconciliation take place? It took place by Christ's death. When did this reconciliation take place? It took place when we were enemies. And who was the offended party? God was the offended party. A fallen man had offended God. And yet Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of the thrice holy God. So that's the first three questions. Now, here's number four. Here's the fourth question I submit to you this morning. Who was reconciled? Who was reconciled? We've already mentioned it. I've already mentioned it as I read it. But who was reconciled? Notice how the Apostle Paul actually states this. For if when we were enemies. Now, no doubt Paul is writing to those who are believers then. They had become believers. They were believers when Paul wrote. But Paul is saying there was a time when you were an enemy. And yet he says, but if when we were enemies. This is who was reconciled. Enemies. Can you relate to that? Can you take your place there? Do you comprehend, and can you taste within the very being of your soul what it is to be an enemy toward God? Can you relate to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am? Can you relate to what Paul said? Do you say, I know what Paul's talking about? Oh, wretched man that I am, I've offended God. I've offended God's holy law. I've offended God's holy character. I've offended God's holy Son. I've offended God's holy gospel. I've offended God. This is who was reconciled, enemies. The Apostle Paul also said in Romans chapter 7, he says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, I know this. And Paul knew it by experience. This wasn't just some doctrine he'd learned. This wasn't just some teaching that he had comprehended academically or scholastically. Paul says, I know, he could taste it, he could feel it. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So this is who was reconciled. Enemies were reconciled. Now let me ask you another question in line with this number four. This is still question number four. Who was reconciled? Enemies were reconciled. He says enemies were reconciled. If you claim You listen to my voice this morning. If you claim no enmity toward God, you say, but I'm not an enemy of God. I don't hate God. I'm not against God. If that's what you say, if that's your stance, if that's where you claim you are, if you claim that you have no enmity toward God, then you have no claim to reconciliation. Christ reconciled enemies. So if you're not an enemy, how can you claim Christ reconciled you? Now, listen to me. May God give you ears to hear. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Jesus Christ reconciled enemies. There are many people who don't think they're the enemy of God. Now, God often deals with us in how we think we are. But our Lord Jesus Christ put it this way. He was talking to some Pharisees who thought they were pretty good people. They didn't consider themselves to be the enemies of God. And he told those people, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you see that? Do you hear it? Do you hear Christ's words? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, no man is righteous before God in and of himself, but yet our Lord was dealing with these people where they thought they were. And he is saying, as long as you think you're righteous, I got nothing for you. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And don't you see Jesus Christ? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Christ reconciled. Some 2,000 years ago, in his death, he reconciled enemies. Do you know what that is? Do you understand that? Do you comprehend that? Do you taste that within the depths of your very heart? Do you know that your heart is desperately wicked above all things? Who can know it? Do you know that? So who was reconciled? Enemies were reconciled. I hope you can relate to that. So far, we've come halfway through these questions. Let's look at them quickly again. How did this reconciliation take place? It took place. The reconciliation took place by the death of Christ. When did this reconciliation take place? It took place when we're enemies. It took place when Christ died. Who was the offended party? God was the offended party. Sin is not just a mistake. Sin is not just a mishap. Sin is a crime against God. It offends his holy character and his holy being. So who is the offended party? God was the offended party. And yet, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Do you see that? How glorious is that? Who was reconciled? Enemies were reconciled. So that's the first four questions. Now, here's the fifth question I want to ask this morning. All of these things being so, he reconciled the people. He reconciled enemies. He reconciled enemies to God, and he reconciled enemies to God by his own death. He reconciled these enemies when he died on that tree, when he died on Calvary as a substitute and as a sacrifice and as divine satisfaction to God. But then who shall be saved? Who shall be saved? That's my fifth question. Well, Paul answers the question here. Who shall be saved? Everyone who was reconciled. Now, let's read it again. Look at it. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, not believers, before we were believers, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you see it? Those who were reconciled, even when they were enemies, we shall be saved by his life. Christ stated once, because I live, ye shall live also. Who is it that's going to live also? Everyone elect reconciled. So again, look at it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more. If and since that is an accomplished thing, if he reconciled us by his death, much more we shall be saved by his life. So who shall be saved? Everyone that Christ died to reconcile. So that's the fifth question. Here's number six. I want you to think about this. Since the reconciled shall be saved, here's a question. Number six. How are the reconciled saved? How are they saved? Now, I know men come up with all kinds of different answers, and different denominations have different answers to that question. How are the reconciled saved? How's that? But according to the Apostle Paul, look at what he says. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. How? By his life. You see it? How are the reconciled saved? By Christ's life. The one who died to reconcile. Think about that. The one who died to reconcile lives to assure that salvation takes place in and upon and within all that he reconciled. So how did this reconciliation take place? It took place with the death of Christ. When did this reconciliation take place? It took place when we were enemies and when Christ died on that tree. And who was the offended party? Christ, God was the offended party. God the Father was the offended party, and the fallen Adamic race were the offenders. And who was reconciled? Enemies, the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. And who shall be saved? Everyone that was reconciled. Now, you know what that's saying. You read the words there. You hear my words, what I'm saying about it, these questions I'm asking. When Jesus Christ died on that tree, he died for a people. And he reconciled those people by his death. And because he lives, he was raised from the dead, and he ever lives. He lives to see that every one of those people shall be saved. So there we see it. Who shall be saved? The ones he reconciled. How are the reconciled saved? By his life. But here's question number 7. Who is this people who were reconciled? Now think about it. Who is this people who were reconciled by Christ's death? They were reconciled by his death. Who is this people who were reconciled by Christ's death and who shall be saved by his life? What is this? According to the Apostle Paul, it is they are those who receive the reconciliation. Now look at it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, not only that is a guaranteed thing, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Now, I know the KJV here says the atonement, but the word is the same word. It's reconciliation. We've received the reconciliation. How? By Christ and through Christ. So who is this people who are reconciled by Christ's death and who shall be saved by his life? They are those who receive the reconciliation, not accept it. It's the reconciliation wrought by Jesus Christ at Calvary is not up to fallen men and women's acceptance or rejection. It's not up to us. It's not something God throws out there and says, now take it or leave it. No, there are people who Christ died to reconcile. These people Christ lives to guarantee they shall be saved. And not only that, but they joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation. You don't just acknowledge it. Well, I acknowledge that Christ reconciled. No, you receive it. You receive the reconciliation. They receive it constantly. Think about that. These people who receive this reconciliation don't receive it today and reject it tomorrow, because they receive it by an act of the free and sovereign grace of God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So far we have this. How did this reconciliation take place? It took place with the death of Christ. When did this reconciliation take place? It took place when we were enemies. Who was the offended party? God was the offended party. Who was reconciled? Enemies were reconciled. Can you take your place there? You take your place as an enemy of God. Who is reconciled? Enemies. Who shall be saved? Everyone who is reconciled. How are the reconciled saved? They're saved by his life. Christ's life guarantees that. Who are these people who are reconciled and who shall be saved? Who are they? They are those who, by Christ, receive the reconciliation. Now, here's number 8. How do they receive? How do these people receive this reconciliation? According to the Apostle Paul here, they receive it by Christ. Now, let's read it again. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, do you see those words? By whom we have now received the atonement. Men and women believe
by the mighty power of God. Men and women believe through a sovereign act of the free grace of God Almighty. Men and women have faith, and by that faith believe and receive this reconciliation by an act of God. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not a fruit of man. Faith is not a human characteristic, or at least that faith that God demands, at least that faith that God requires. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you work up. It's not something you work down. It's something that God Almighty gives by His free and sovereign grace based upon the life of Christ and the death of Christ. So how do they receive this reconciliation by Christ? Listen to me. There is no free will here. There is no free will here. This is not human will. According to the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, he put it this way, For it is God which worketh in you, that is, in a certain people, not everyone, but for it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Do you hear that? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. He must provide both the will and the doing of His good pleasure. Is it His good pleasure that the atonement, the reconciliation be received? It's God's absolute demand. And yet God works within His people. Those who are reconciled, those who shall be saved by His life, God works in them both to will and to do in receiving this reconciliation. One of the psalmists prophesied this in Psalms 110, thy people. And that was true in his day, but he prophesied of it under the eternal, everlasting covenant of God in Christ. He prophesied this, thy people shall be willing. Thy people shall be willing. But when? When? In the day of thy power. Oh, the glory of God's free and sovereign grace. So how do they receive this reconciliation? They receive it by Christ. This is not an act of free will, but this is an act of free grace. That's what this is. Now, having offered up these eight questions and seen the answers to these eight questions from the Word of God, specifically and mainly in Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, I want to make two summarizing statements. First of all, Christ did the reconciling. There is no debate to that. Christ does the saving. There is no debate to that. Christ enables the receiving, both the receiver and the receiving. Christ enables that. Christ does that. There is no debate on that. He gets all the credit because He assures it all. Even as Jonah cried out, having been taught by God, salvation is of the Lord. So do you hear me this morning? Do you hear this morning? Christ did the reconciling. Christ does the saving. Christ enables the receiving. Therefore, Christ truly gets all the credit. This is not just a default. This is not some false humility we offer up to God. Well, God, You did your part, and God, I did my part, and we kind of worked together, but I give You all the glory. It don't work that way. Christ gets all the glory because Christ does all the work. That's my first summarizing statement. Here's my second. All. That's right, I said all who were reconciled shall be saved. In every aspect, do men need faith to receive the reconciliation? They do. God gives that to the ones that are reconciled. Do men need to repent lest they perish? They do, but God grants repentance. He's the one that gives it. Every aspect of salvation, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of it, especially that of faith. All who are reconciled shall be saved in whatever aspect of salvation you speak of. And they all are being brought to receive that reconciliation. They love Christ for who He is. They love Christ for what He's done. They love Christ for what He's accomplished. They love Christ for what He's wrought on them and within them. And they give Him all the glory because He is, by the free and sovereign grace of God, do all the glory. They give Christ all the credit, not with mere lip service. No, this is not just lip service. It's sad to say, and I don't say this angrily, but a lot of people give lip service to the grace of God, but I fear they don't truly know the grace of God. They haven't truly experienced the grace of God because when you've experienced the free and sovereign, the reigning grace of God in Jesus Christ, the love of Christ will constrain you to give him all the credit. So all who were reconciled, they shall be saved, and they all are being brought to receive that reconciliation. They give Christ all the credit, and as I said, not with mere lip service, but by reason of the reality by which they were reconciled, by which they are being saved, and by which they are constantly receiving that reconciliation. So, what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is an act of God in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. When did it take place? It took place when he died on that tree. How are men saved? They're saved by Jesus Christ, by his life. When do they experience that salvation? They experience it when they receive that reconciliation. But how do they receive that reconciliation? By him. By him. Do you see that? By him. That means he is the cause. Their reception is the effect of the cause. He's the causer of it all. He's the first cause of it all. All the glory, all the honor, all of it, whether it be reconciliation and its result, salvation and its result, reception, receiving of the atonement, all of it depends upon and is guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you taste the foul bird of your enmity toward God? Bow to Christ. Receive him. Look to him. Rest upon him. Come unto me, said all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you a rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your troubled souls.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.